This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No, I'm not going to bag on it, but he looks like he's almost 50. All right, Tinky and Tierney, Hour 3, coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tinky Barber, Brandon Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on the simulcast. And, of course, always coast-to-coast, SiriusXM 206 every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, little football. By the way, you Giants going to show up tonight?
Yes,
am I betting the Giants? Or the Who am I betting tonight?
You're betting the Giants.
You think so?
What's the line?
I don't even know, and I always know.
I know you do.
What is the line tonight?
What would you
three
think
Three something?
Is?
Three and a half?
Three and a half.
I'm going to say three and a half either way. Nice. Maybe it could even be a pick 'em. Who knows? I mean, This is a degenerate game.
Yes.
I mean, that's what that is.
Stay away from it, basically.
Outside of Beckham, outside of Barkley, who do you really have going that's a prime fantasy player tonight? Am I missing anybody on the Niners?
No.
I want to be fair to them.
Kittle.
You know what? They're tight end. Yeah. Kittle's actually really good, true.
You're right.
And Mullins is a great story, but, man, it's two teams going nowhere this season at least, but is what it is. Take the other day it came up, we had a chance to, and we were asked, hey, do you want Bob Costas on the show? Why wouldn't we? Bob Costas.
You're going to have to ask that, Sam, too.
He's a legend. He is a legend in terms of what he's done, versatility. He's just a sharp mind that he's really been a leader in the industry for a long time. My entire life, really. And he actually went to the Mets fantasy camp with my dad in the 80s. I think Costas was playing a little second base. That's what my dad told me. Bob, Tiki, and Tierney, how are you today, buddy? What's going on?
You know, I was playing second base.
There you go.
And Clint Hurdle managed my team.
Yes.
That was the point in his life when he was sort of between jobs.
Uh-huh.
And he had played briefly for the Mets, and he managed my group of Met campers. And as I remember, I was able to make solid contact a few times, and I did play second base. But now let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
You're bagging on Carmelo. Looking 50. People are always saying to me, hey Bob, you look like you couldn't be more than 50. That is a compliment.
It's a different
He's 50. That's fine. He's in the prime of his life and the prime of his career.
It's a different scale, Bob.
Well,
exactly. I'll take 50.
Yeah, right. You know, it's interesting you bring up Clint Hurdle because he's still the skip of the Pirates.
And right.
You've watched this, as BT and I have watched this. BT's an advocate. He's taught me so much about the game of baseball. But the field manager is gone, right? It's all numbers. It's all metrics. When you see that, do you love the new trend with data driving some of these decisions, or do you like the old school guy a little bit? You've seen both sides of it, Bob.
You know, I think it has to be a blend of the two. And I think Alex Cora showed that all year long. He's a young manager. It was his first managerial position, although he had been the bench coach for A.J. Hinch in Houston. But it was his first managerial position. He isn't even in his mid-40s yet. He just turned 43. So he's with the new wave, but he also makes some decisions, based on instinct and gut feeling in that particular situation. So I think analytics are very important. I'm interested in the data. But they cannot be the be-all and end-all, and they cannot always apply to every situation. The data is based on macro, but the macro is made up of hundreds or maybe thousands of micros. If you ever played in the days before people started to organize fantasy leagues and you had all DraftKings and everything, we used to sit around and play Strat-O-Matic football or Strat-O-Matic baseball. You ever do that, or APBA baseball?
Yeah, I did. I got to be honest. I found it boring because video games were just invented. Yeah, I'm going back to the early 80s, Bob.
I'm ahead of you, and there were no video games. And I thought it was incredible that I could pretend that Willie Mays was facing Whitey Ford.
Uh-huh.
But the point of all this was, if Willie Mays that year hit .315 with 48 homers in 540 at-bats, and you send him up to bat 540 times in Strat-O-Matic, his probability of doing that was exactly the same all 540 times. But we know that all 540 at-bats of Willie Mays' season were not identical.
Mm-hmm.
And every situation in and of itself does not comport with the macro. And what might make sense to do on June 10th against Pittsburgh doesn't necessarily make sense to do in the fourth game of the World Series.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And, you know, I want to throw this by you, and there's so many things we do want to throw by you, but I have to get this out because we had Tiki, we were out this day. It was over the summer one day, and we had Joe Morgan on.
Yeah.
And I threw this by Joe, and I think you're the perfect broadcaster to ask this of because you've done every sport, even going back to the ABA with the St. Louis Spirit.
Yep.
And I look at the 70s. I was born in 73, Bob, but obviously knowing my baseball history, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the early 70s with the A's, with Catfish and Sal Bando and Reggie and all those guys, and you just seamlessly transition to the Big Red Machine, and then eventually you get into the Yankees back-to-back in 77 and 78. It's my contention, although I'll defer to you, that the 70s has more dynasties and more powerful dynasties of any other sport of any other decade. I hope I presented that. Does that make sense? Is there another decade with as many highly regarded dynasties as the 70s baseball gives us? I don't think there is.
No, not multiples. The Celtics in the 50s and then into the 60s mm-hmm. won 11 in 13 years. The Bulls obviously won 6 in 8 years and might have made it 8 in a row if Michael had played all of those 2 seasons in between. He missed one entirely and most of another one. And then there was almost a seamless handoff to 3 straight for Kobe and Shaq, with the Spurs winning the first of their 5 in 1999. So you have some of that, and you have the Packers and the Steelers and the 49ers in football. But I understand the point you're making about baseball in the 70s. You could go back to the Yankees from 1949 to 1964. What's that? That's 16 seasons, yep. And they won the pennant 14 times.
Yeah.
But when you get to the tail end of what you were talking about in baseball in the 70s, the 77, 78 Yankees, that's just the beginning of free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Bob Housum, who ran the Cincinnati Reds, saying after the Reds swept the Yankees in 76 for their second championship in a row, and they had won 4 pennants between 70 and 76. He saw free agency coming, and he was a hardline, old line guy who never would fit into what has become modern baseball. And he said with obvious regret, this may be the last truly great team you see because we won't be able to hold teams together anymore. Now, it turns out that's not entirely true, but that group of teams you mentioned in the 70s, and you can throw in the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes,
even
you can.
They lost 2 of the 3 series.
Yes.
They lost in 69 to the Mets and in 71 to the Pirates. They were actually the best team in baseball all 3 years, 69, 70, 71. Then that gives way almost, as you say, seamlessly to the A's, who give way to the Reds, who give way to the Yankees. So, yeah, that was that sort of passing of the baton during that era in baseball.
And then even the Dodgers coming up, who eventually won it in 81. And I wanted to throw that by you. The great Bob Costas is with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Bob, your other love would be football because you did it for so long, and that's how we became colleagues at NBC and Football Night in America. And you're working on this Concussion Legacy Foundation media project, and it's interesting because I think so much of the vernacular that's thrown around the concussion issue that's dominated the NFL for the last decade or so sometimes gets misused and it's often misunderstood. Tell us exactly what you're looking to get from professional journalists, or at least teach professional journalists, and also some college journalists that want to get into this profession.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I'm not the person, I wouldn't be presumptuous enough to tell my colleagues, many of whom are my peers and my friends, what they should do and how they should do it. I think the people who do the frontline NFL games have educated themselves, mm-hmm. for the most part, about concussions. They know the NFL's ever-evolving concussion protocols. They're aware of the severity of it, and they're less likely, especially the professional announcers and most of the former players turned broadcasters, know not to say he got his bell rung or it's a stinger or he's shaking off the cobwebs or that it's automatically a mark of toughness to go back into the game immediately, even though you may be woozy. I think we've all come to that realization. What my role is in helping the Concussion Legacy Foundation, because they knew I was interested in the issue, they came to me and asked me to put them in touch with some of the frontline communication schools in the country. So I started with my own alma mater, Syracuse, and the Newhouse School has begun this program for aspiring sports broadcasters and sports writers. So has the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern, where J.A. Adande, who was a longtime television personality and writer at the L.A. Times, is now a professor. And soon enough, Boston University will have it, and perhaps the University of Missouri, and it will spread. And so my job was only to kind of act as a go-between. And then there's an introductory video that they put together that I'm on, and Andrea Kramer is on, and J.A. Adande is on. But the real experts are people like Ann McKee and Dr. Robert Cantu and Chris Nowinski himself and Bennett Amalo, Dr. Bennett Amalo, who was played by Will Smith in the movie Concussion, even though he's not directly affiliated with the Concussion Legacy Foundation. Those are the true experts. So my role would only be to primarily tell up-and-coming broadcasters, hey, take a look at this video, take a look at this curricula, read Bennett Amalu's memoir, read what's out there from the Concussion Legacy Foundation, and consider it part of your job to be as familiar with this information as a layman can be, just the same way as you ought to be familiar with the rules of the sport you cover.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Yeah, Bob, do you think that's good? The emphasis that the league has put on this is really changing, because sometimes I see a guy, he gets popped, he fakes it, he gets up and he goes off. There's supposed to be spotters. I don't know if there's actually any spotters, but I know there are, but I don't know if they actually do what they're supposed to do, because sometimes I can watch some television and say that guy is knocked out. He's trying not to pretend. He doesn't want to lose his position. Right. Is this working the way that the NFL envisioned it would work, or is there still work to be done with the concussion issue in the National Football League and really in the lower levels as well?
Oh, there's ongoing work to be done. And according to the Concussion Legacy Foundation, close to half of youth football coaches are not fully familiar or nearly as familiar as they should be with the signs of head injuries, the proper teaching techniques. A good percentage of people who let their kids play are not sufficiently aware of the issue overall. And, you know, you can respect the decision to allow a kid to play. I don't think personally that anyone should play contact football before at least the age of 15, and you can learn some of the basics of the game by playing flag football. But in any case, a parent should make that decision as an informed decision. And we assume, because we do it for a living and we follow all this stuff, that everybody knows, at least in general, what we know. And you'd be surprised how many people somehow are not really aware of this issue. And so the public needs to be educated. Youth coaches need to be better educated. And then there's a big question, and it's a philosophical question that'll take a long time to discuss, more time than we have here, which is that no matter what the league does, whether it's out of conscience and honest concern, which I think some of it is, or whether it's a simple business decision because they know they could be losing some people who are ambivalent about the game, whatever their motivation is, the question is, can you ever truly make this kind of contact football safe enough that a considerable percentage of those who play will not suffer some sort of significant brain trauma that they'll pay for down the line? I don't know what the answer to that is, because as we all know, or at least the three of us know, it isn't just diagnosed concussions, and you don't have to be unconscious to have a concussion, but on top of that, it isn't just diagnosed concussions, it's all the hundreds, if not thousands, of subconcussive hits that go by unnoticed, but that cumulatively can lead to CTE and often some often tragic consequences down the road. So this is a big question, and it's a fundamental question that faces the most popular and profitable sport in America. Actually, it's the most popular thing in all of American entertainment. It gets the highest ratings of anything on television. In theory, you could play baseball without performance-enhancing drugs and without steroids, and they have reduced it to a significant extent. You can play hockey without fights. We'll never live to see it, but you could align academics and athletics enough so that much of Division I college sports, at least basketball and football, which are the primary ones, wouldn't be a sham, that that actually be an alignment of athletics and academics. In theory, you could do all that.
Mm-hmm.
The fundamental question for football is, even in theory, can you play football the way we've been accustomed to either playing it or watching it be played without a sizable percentage of the participants suffering severe consequences?
I don't think so. I mean, that's,
I don't think so either.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
I think the answer is no.
I sell this to BT all the time, Bob. You got to be somewhat crazy.
Yeah.
And a little bit off your rocker to play the game, football. And you some guys realize this pretty early, and they still play anyways.
Mm-hmm. Bob, okay, go ahead, Bob. Go ahead.
Well, it's a risk-reward thing.
Yeah.
And I think that we respect a Chris Borland, promising mm-hmm. linebacker from the 49ers, who said it's not worth the risk. And then we respect those who say, I'm fully aware of this information, but considering the rewards, my lust for competition, what I can do for my family, the financial rewards, I am willing to take that risk in return for the rewards. You could respect either decision as long as it's an informed decision.
100%. Yeah. There's no doubt. Bob Costas is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I wish we had more time, but I want to throw this by. I think there's a good way to end it up here, Bob. You look at the inherent issues that football faces, head trauma. Mm-hmm. Hockey has certain inherent issues. Ice time, rink time is very challenging for a lot of people. There's been a decline, although it seems to be repairing itself a bit, but a dearth of African-Americans with baseball, unlike the 70s and the 80s, where there were so many prominent great black players. Now it's not quite what it used to be. Every sport has a challenge. Which sport do you think right now, though, is able to kind of plow past those impediments and flourish the most? Which sport is set up for the next 10, 15, 20 years to do the best, do you think?
I'd say either the NBA, and despite its problems with national television ratings, baseball, because baseball's problems, pace of game and whatnot, are theoretically fixable.
Yeah.
And so, too, are hockey's. I mean, you could legislate a lot of the contact that leads to the possibility of CTE, which some people don't want to acknowledge, but it only makes sense. It may not be to the exact same extent in every sport, but if we've known for our entire lifetimes and before any of us were born that people could be, quote, punch drunk and have dementia from being fighters, it only makes sense that people who have constant contact, even if they're wearing helmets, and we now know that helmets do not protect against brain damage, they protect against skull fractures. It only made sense that we should have made that linkage to football sooner and made that linkage as well to hockey. But you could legislate that out of hockey. I come back to the thing about football. The very nature of the game makes it more difficult to address its most fundamental problem. But I think the NBA and Major League Baseball, as long as they don't compare themselves in television ratings and overall popularity for the moment to football, I think the NBA and MLB are in very good shape.
Bob Costas, he is the man. Legendary, great, awesome. Wish we had a little more time, Bob. I truly do. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Brandon, Tiki, always good to talk to you. Take care.
Take care, Bob.
Bob Costas with us. I agree with his answer, too. I could possibly critique, you know, he's like me at his core, baseball guy.
Yeah.
My one answer would be the NBA.
Yeah,
and then behind the NBA is a distant baseball, or if you want to position something else,
you're right.
The NBA is set up to be, rolling for a long
time. I
agree,
but football is not going away.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that at all, no doubt. All right, let's get a quick timeout, a little bit behind it, but hey, the Ravens, you talk about all these coaching situations, you know, who's going to go after Lincoln Riley, who's going to get this guy, who's going to get John Harbaugh, very well might be the biggest free agent out there. Is this it? For Harbaugh and the Ravens. We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. But in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Good stuff with Bob Costas. We uncovered a picture of Tiki. This had to be when they introduced you at NBC, right?
Yes, introductory press conference in 2007.
You've got to be 40 pounds heavier.
It's probably April. Actually, I think it was April 16th. Yeah, I know exactly the date because it was the day that the shooting happened down at Charlottesville. I mean, in Blacksburg,
Virginia Tech.
Because I went down for that. It was my first day on the job. Wow. Was that shooting? It was tragic. But they knew I was from the area, so they sent me down.
That was your first. Wow.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But the picture that they posted, you got to be 35, 40 pounds heavy.
I think maybe
gotta
40,
be.
BT.
Got to be.
Tracy measured me this morning because I got to get some suits taken in, like those. And they're, I think that's a 44 regular. Right now, I'm a 40. Think about that.
Because we eat sushi every night. And you're running
sushi.
I love sushi.
I do too.
Love it.
I heard you talking about that on Friday
with
Jen. I was like,
what I called Jen off air and we wanted to order. I think that was Thursday.
Yeah,
we
whatever
sushi.
It was. Yeah, it was
God,
Thursday.
I love sushi. Actually, I'm more sashimi.
Yeah.
Try to get away from the rice. But you get some.
Oh, I love the rice, though.
Some tuna. And I do, too, but, you know, got to watch the gut. Otherwise, you get out of hand on me. You know, you don't have to worry about that.
Go for a jog.
Oh, please. I'll never run. How about this report? You ready? Many believe John Harbaugh's coaching for his job with the Ravens amid a 3-game losing streak, but the reality is that he and the team may have already decided on his exact departure date.
Yeah.
According to
that makes
own,
more sense, by the way.
Yeah, I would think so. According to our own Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports, that date will be in the relatively near future. Lockenfor reported on Sunday there's a strong sense that Harbaugh and the Ravens have decided that they'll mutually part ways following the season, final year of his contract, unlikely to get an extension.
So that happened with Jim Fossil, his last year in 2003. They didn't really announce it, but they kind of did.
Oh, I remember that.
We knew.
Yeah.
He told us. I remember the press conference, not the press conference, but the team meeting that we had. And Jim comes in, and Wellington is there with them. So we know, like, something's up.
Right? Yeah.
So it's he basically says, this will be going to be my last year, but we're going to finish this thing out strong. You know, the whole thing that you
just
give.
To push the chips into the middle
of the
table
that
thing?
Was 2000. We went
to the
Super
Bowl. That's right.
But this was, I mean, we knew it was over.
Yep. How do you know when it's over? Besides when the media starts jumping in, how do you really know as a player
we were underperforming
when it's over?
Because we were underperforming, like the energy was gone. And people talk about this all the time, like, well, he's not reaching the player anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that guys like Marvin Lewis, like Andy Reid, who did it for so long, Belichick, even though it's more of a regimented regime that just guys fall in line to because they want to win.
Yep.
Right? They realize if we follow this and adhere to it, we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing that coaches can coach that long because the message just gets stale.
Tomlin.
Exactly. Tomlin's another one you got to give credit.
13 years in Green Bay.
It's amazing that they can do it for so long, especially with so much turnover, so many different types of personalities, the millennial generation that's now in the National Football League, and how their values, meaning toughness values, are different than a lot of these coaches grew up with. So thinking in context of John Harbaugh, I mean, sometimes you just not age, but it just changes around you. The environment changes around you, and you just know it's time. You can feel it, and that's kind of what it's starting to feel. Not that we're inside down there in Baltimore, we don't know. We're just talking.
No, but Lockenfor is. Jay lives out of Baltimore. He's been reporting this for a long time,
and it's not surprising.
No,
is the reason that you bring it up. It's not really that surprising.
Is he? If we were to attach a grade to what he would represent to a new organization.
Mm-hmm.
Is he an A or is he a B+? I felt like for a while he was an
John,
A. I feel like now maybe he could be a B+.
Well, as long as you don't let the underperformances of the last couple of seasons be the forward face of how you're judging him.
Which is hard to do because
it's
even like with somebody like Eli Manning.
It's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
Exactly.
But coaching is different than players. Like an old player that's kind of hit that point, like, what have you done for me lately? It's really hard to reinvent that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I did an interview earlier today with my buddy Greg Papa, who I'm doing the Iron Bowl with in a couple of weeks. He's out in San Francisco. He does a daily radio show.
Yep.
Obviously, the Giants are out.
The
in
one
San
he does with Deal, right?
Yep.
He's got a lot of
jobs. No, not Bob. Greg Papa.
Greg Papa.
Greg Papa, who's a play-by-play guy for the 49ers.
Greg Papa from San Francisco.
Yeah.
I know Greg.
Yeah.
Greg's a trip.
Oh, he's great. By the way, you said to say hello.
Hey, by the way, go out and have some fun with Greg before the game.
I will.
He's a good dude. Greg's a really good dude.
I will.
But go ahead.
But one of the questions they asked was, well, do you think Eli will do like his brother and maybe try to catch on with another team somewhere? And I said, but the difference with Peyton is that Peyton was at his high when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And the Indianapolis Colts, by necessity, had to part ways with him. and nothing to do with we don't. You know, it was a salary thing, and we don't really believe in the health anymore because we saw this leading up to your surgery for 3 or 4 years. But we felt like there was something left, and we saw what happened. He finally gets healthy. He goes to Denver. Those 50 touchdowns.
Set a record.
Sets a record.
Yeah.
They get into the postseason, and John Fox doesn't give him the leeway to be himself. They underperform. They lose to the Baltimore Ravens. Right? With Eli, if he would go somewhere else, it just feels like he's at that what have you done for me lately point. Peyton wasn't at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton is, I want to still see if you got it left. Eli's at that, well, what have you done lately?
Okay.
And so for him to go somewhere else, it'd be a tough sell to win over a new fan base.
But I think it depends where
a
he
coach
goes.
Coach is different, though.
If he goes to a non, I hear you on that, your ultimate point. I do distinguish the difference, player and coach.
Yeah.
I got you. But the difference, like, if Eli went to a non-rabid fan base, or at least one without, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of history, like Jacksonville.
But would that be worth it for a guy who's going to be 38 years old?
It could if he wants to win some games.
He's got three kids.
And he wants to keep playing football because he ain't playing for the New York Giants next year.
I mean,
if he wants to keep playing.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know the answer either. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If he wants to continue playing, and even though the Jaguars are going to have to alter some of their pieces because now defensive guys need to get paid and guys former first-round picks are starting to hit that point where they've got to get some big free agent money or you've got to let them go. They've already traded some guys. Guys have got the Jaguars, he couldn't help out. He's not better than Blake Bortles? If he's not better than Blake Bortles, he's got to retire.
I don't think it's about being better than Blake Bortles. I think it's about being the right fit. Think about what offense they run. They don't run a drop back offense.
It's you don't have to with Fournette, and he's great with play action. You have Fournette who's back healthy.
I just
like it still help him.
I don't.
All right, you don't see it as much as I do.
No,
okay.
And to be honest, there's not many places that I see as the right fit for an older quarterback like Eli.
Yeah. To be fair, my list might end at Jacksonville. I don't know that I've got 3 or 4 in my back pocket. But you know, back to Harbaugh, how we started the conversation. You know. My only concern about John Harbaugh, because I do think the Jets would kick the tires on him once they get rid of Bowles mercifully. I think that there's not a lot of evidence that Harbaugh can do what needs to be done for the quarterback. I mean, have we seen Joe Flacco get better? We've actually kind of seen Joe Flacco get worse.
Yeah, I mean, he had his best years when
the defense was running the show.
What was it? Head coach at Indy? Why am I forgetting his name?
At Indy?
No.
Chuck
Pagano? They took over the play calling when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, the year they won the Super Bowl. Was it called? Not called. I forget.
It was Caldwell. It was definitely Caldwell.
Yeah, we
met up with the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Caldwell, yeah.
Exactly. So without that happening, I'm not so sure that.
Yeah, that's why I ask you. Is he an A or is he
and
B?
That was a mid-season thing, by the way.
I know
remember?
It was. I remember
so
very well.
It was.
And there was a dramatic change in performance.
Serious uptick.
Yep.
John, in today's NFL, this is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Defenses can't be dominant anymore. The only thing they think being dominant about is getting pressure on a quarterback and causing turnovers, right? Offense has too many advantages.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a new head coach, you better have some acumen offensively to develop either a young quarterback or change your offense so that it mimics a little bit of what else is happening in offenses around the league.
Mm-hmm. And he's a special team background.
Yeah. So it's on the edge. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a good question because I can't answer it with confidence.
Yeah. He might not be a home run. I mean, at worst, you're getting a double in the gap, which is pretty damn good if you have the other pieces. But he's not the home run that I thought he might be a couple of years back. You know, we'll see. All right, let's get the update. We got it from Marco Belletti coming at you now. We got the blast after that. Get a little something on the Niners and the Giants tonight. Here's Marco coming at you. Okay, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. We'll get it going. It's about the Hoopsie trade and Jimmy Butler. Eric Rolene at E-R-U-T-L, looks like, I believe. Will Jimmy Butler be enough to get the Sixers to the NBA Finals? Go ahead, Teak.
I'm
going to
say no right now.
No right now?
I think they have so many rotation issues to figure out. Maybe it evolves into that, but on its surface, immediately, I'm going to say no.
Okay. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206. We'll get to the blast here in a moment, give you a thought and a prediction on the Niners-Giants tonight, and maybe get a couple of calls left as well, a couple of tweets. You know, I got to look at it at least this way. Like, to me, Embiid is is he the best big? Well, Anthony Davis is the best big man in the game, but I mean Embiid's too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? So you've got Embiid.
Yep.
You got a sniper in Redick. You've got a terrific A-minus two-way player in Butler. You've got a matchup nightmare, though he doesn't hit, you know, take outside shots in Simmons, but he's long and he gets to the rim at will. I mean, Celtics don't look great yet. The
True.
Raptors
are good.
No, I know. Yeah. And their bench is still legit. And, you know, DeRozan obviously isn't quite Kawhi, although DeRozan's doing very well for the Spurs. I mean, who? They got a chance in the East to get to the finals. Come on. The Bucks are really good as well. Good job throwing them in there. It was an unintentional omission. The Bucks look really good. But, I mean, I'd give them 25-30% chance right now.
Yeah.
One out of four teams, something like that.
It wouldn't be my favorite right now, though.
Okay. Ready to blast away?
Yep, let's hit it.
Here it is.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, Josh Norman getting down and dirty, ripping the Skins fans, Teak.
Phillies, the Giants, and you know, even Dallas. They sold out. People in the seats, they're cheering for their team. Regardless, good or bad or indifferent, they're still showing up each and every week, you know, going hard. And even the Giants, when they was 1-6, you know, they had a sellout crowd. They was all in there, packed, still. You know, we come back to our home, it seems like guys just... I don't really care. They just boo everything and not really behind us. We don't really feel that. And I'm tired of it, really. I mean, play all the games on the road, if you ask me. But at the end of the day, the people who are going to be for you, the fans is really on your back, they'll be there.
All right, so again, that was Josh Norman, not necessarily enthralled with the fan
That's
participation.
How you endear yourself to them.
Should players ever call out fans?
Certain places you can. Josh Norman, who's not
FedEx, one of them,
who's not organic to Washington or FedEx, should not, and he should understand.
Just because he wasn't drafted by the Redskins,
no,
he can't have a take
no,
on
hold
the.
On. He doesn't understand that DC is a transient city.
Okay,
everybody there is fans of kind of a lot of different people.
All I heard growing up is how much the Redskins always had great support.
Yeah,
what
Maryland.
Is it? A suddenly transient city?
Money. Who's filling
the
seats?
First of all, the stadium's too big. That's part of the problem.
Who's filling 80,000
the seats?
Who's filling the seats? That's my point.
I didn't have problems going when Riggins and Theismann was there and they were there. I mean, they didn't have problems going when RG3 was playing quarterback.
Well, I forget the name of the old stadium.
JFK. RFK.
RFK. Different animal, man.
I understand that. Listen.
And different era.
Fair.
They were great.
That's fair. And you didn't watch on TV the way you do now. Now you don't have to go to the game. Should players call out fans? Sure. If they don't show up and the team is good, I believe that's a license to say something. Or if they... go and they're belligerent or clownish or just uninformed, and I have no problem with that. But generally, it's not good business, except if it's one of those certain situations. But it's odd. They got 6 wins and they don't show up. I think
he's
kind of right.
And they're good.
They are good. They're not exciting.
No.
But they're pretty good. They're leading the division. All right, the Rams lose Cooper Kupp for the season. How big of a loss is this? I think it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's just the kind of guy, and I know that the Rams make it look easy. Hang 35 or 40 each week, and Gurley doing this, and Woods doing that, and Goff doing this, and playmakers everywhere. But there's something to be said for that guy on 3rd and 8 when you got to move the sticks, when things aren't so easy, and you're not on pace for 40, and you might have to win a 24-20 game. Cooper Kupp is a good player.
Yeah, no, they're going to feel it. Brandon Cooks is also a possession guy, but a versatile guy. He can do different things. What this really does for Sean McVay is make him have to now create roles for his tight ends, who actually had a pretty good day yesterday against the Seattle Seahawks. And so it just a good play caller and coach can overcome this, but it's a tough one to overcome. You're right.
Tua played football on Saturday. Tua took a lot of hits.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you know, the game was never really in jeopardy because Alabama gives up no points, but he got hit a lot. So he had to leave the game, and Nick Saban bristles at the thought of limiting him.
Is there any consideration at all this week to limit snaps or in the game? Is there any consideration to limit some of that?
No. No, why would we do that? I mean, say this was not an important game or he doesn't need to play, or we're not going to take the approach in any game that we play that we're not going to play players and take guys out and do all this and play somebody else and assume the opponent that we're playing is not capable of being very competitive. You know, that can be your mindset. That's not my mindset. That's not our mindset. That's not going to be the mindset of our players. And I'm not really interested in any of your suggestions about how we should manage our team and what we should do to try to get better, regardless of what you think.
Man.
Just because we're playing the Citadel.
Man, he is a grumpy guy.
But
really
he's right.
Is.
He's right.
I know he's right, so I guess they should they sit him?
No, they shouldn't sit him. He's got a quad injury.
Mm-hmm.
It's likely a deep thigh bruise. I had one of these. They suck.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's bad for Tua is because it's blood. All this blood is in your quad.
Like a contusion, you
say? Yeah, like it's a contusion. And as it drains, it leaks down into your knee, which is already injured.
Yep.
And so it just creates a compound issue for his knee.
So you make it a case to sit him. Then why'd you say don't sit him?
Yeah,
if you
because
sit him, he might be good.
You can, as long as you flush it out, he should be fine.
Flush? Okay. How do you flush out the blood?
They have these bags, like these leg bags.
They actually extract the blood?
No. You've seen them. It's leg bags. It just pumps. It inflates and pumps.
It circulates.
Keep your leg elevated. It pushes it back towards your heart, so it pumps back into your system.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's ways to do it.
I understand what Nick is saying, and you have to respect everybody, but if you got the season's just starting now. It's the Citadel, with all due respect. If he's not ready to roll, sit him. Sit him. I mean, why he's getting so ornery is just, I mean, the guy's the grumpiest guy in the world.
Because he loves his job.
Imagine being married to that guy. It must be miserable.
I bet he's 180 degrees the opposite.
Yeah, I get it. He better be.
Yeah, right.
I mean, all right, so Kansas State has allegedly been denying bowl rings to players who transferred out. What are our thoughts about this? Well,
what's wrong with that?
If you earn it, you earn it. It seems a little petty here because you're going to bounce. You don't get the ring that you earned. I don't know. If I earned it, even though I'm going to leave, it's like when you leave a company and you accrue 401k.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's mine. I mean, I earned it. So why are you not giving it to me here?
I don't.
What's the problem?
I don't understand this. So
don't make it complicated.
A season happens. At the end of that season, they go to a bowl game. They win a bowl, right? And then the kid the next year leaves.
They don't want to give the kid the ring.
They don't want to give the kid the ring.
They're being cheap.
Yeah, they found multiple people who have not gotten their rings over the course of the past 5-6 years.
Petty.
That's weak.
That's what I'm saying. It's incredibly petty.
That's
give the
weak.
Young man his ring.
It's Come a ring. On. Not that he's going to wear it because he's no longer a student.
They could sell it. Make a few bucks. Spurs Rudy Gay says the NBA is getting soft. Is he right? Yes, but it's been a slow progression to this. You know what I mean? So it's not.
What do you want, Rudy Gay? Seriously.
I hear you.
The game is, I think it's healthy right now, as we talked about.
It is healthy. Ratings are great.
It's exciting.
Aesthetically, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Got some great players. European influences. He is right. But like if you watched the NBA in the 80s and then you watched the game tonight, you'd be like, what the hell happened?
You're right.
But if you consume the sport nightly like we do, you know, year upon year upon year, it's been slow, and you understand it, and really it just mirrors the other sports.
I agree.
Throwing up in baseball, hitting in football. It's a softer world.
Players are different. Athletes are different. Their mentalities towards competition are different. And Rudy Gay, you got to realize, these guys are multi-hundreds of millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to, care that much to hate that guy when you know you're making $28 million.
Rudy Gay's been around a while, too.
At the low end, you're making 15.
Yep.
A year.
Yep. In what is it, next year? John Wall's making 47. Next year.
That makes no sense.
That's crazy.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
You know how hard it is to make $100 million? Seriously. And then he's doing it in two years?
Yeah,
think about that,
It would be really hard to go to practice.
Seriously. Call me soft as you want. That contract is guaranteed.
It's guaranteed is right. This is guaranteed as well. CBS, the Super Bowl season continues Sunday. Exciting regional action. This is a big week. Some good games. Steelers go down to battle the Jaguars. Later on, the Rams. The Chargers take on the Broncos. Classic AFC West showdown. Check your listings for the game in your area. Kick off the day with the NFL Today presented by Jeep. 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS.
Gardner Minshew, Washington State's quarterback, will be joining us tomorrow, as will Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph!
And
got a beef with Dolph from the 80s.
David Njoku.
Took out my man Apollo Creed.
Njoku.
Would have settled the score tomorrow.
Njoku. Toss it up. There it is. Hey, your basketball team's off to a good start. You beat Lehigh. Good job, man.
The engineers.
Awesome.
Are you going to be a homer and say that the Giants will play well tonight? Because I don't think I am. I think I got the Niners tonight.
Saquon and Odell will play fantastic.
They going to win?
Not going that far.
They're not going to win? They're not going to beat the Niners?
They're going to win.
You think so? No, it could be San Francisco.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.